نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. For a few Mondays we have been discussing the life of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. We discussed some of the incidents that indicate and highlight that wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali with. He was so sharp-witted and he was so intelligent that once one lady came to ask him a question. So she said that my brother has passed away. He left behind 600 coins and my share is one. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali asked this lady, have you taken a verdict from someone else? So she said, yes, I have been to a certain scholar and this is what he pointed out. That from that 600, you as a sister to this brother who is marhum, you'll only get one coin. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali walked a few steps, looked again and he explained to the lady. He says, excuse me, did your brother leave behind two daughters? That's correct. Did your brother leave behind a mother? That's right. Did your brother leave behind a wife? That's correct. Well, the siblings, there's 12 brothers and one sister, you are deserving of one out of the 600. Now how do you come to that? So he says two daughters. Two daughters will get 2/3 of the estate. So from 600, 400 is already given and distributed. There's a mother to the estate. Because of the children, she gets 1/6. Which is 100, so 400 plus 100, 500, 100 left. And there is a wife. The wife gets 1/8 in the presence of the children of the deceased. So therefore 1/8 of 600 is 75, that's 575. Now 25 left. Now these brothers and these sisters, they become the residuaries of this estate, means they take the extra. And the males get double the female. So 12 brothers and one sister, so 12 times 2 is 24, one left for you, excuse me ma'am, is that correct? He says, yes, but how do you know that this was the people that were left behind, the relatives of the mayyit and the marhum? Sometimes you come to an alim with the question, he says, well, just write it down, I'll come back with the answer, especially inheritance. Here you gave him the answer, he told you what is the possible scenario for you to inherit that one. Now that wit, to be so sharp, so quick, off the cuff, to give such answers, how does a person earn this? مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. There are two branches of knowledge. One is the knowledge that you get from the kitab. Now how do I gain that knowledge of the kitab? I'll have to make an effort. It's my isti'adad, my potential, my abilities. And that which Allah has vested me with, my intelligence. But one is the knowledge that Allah blesses people. This is al-ilmu ladunni, ilme wahabi. It's knowledge from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah inspires a person to give such quick answers off the cuff. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul ali, once he went to the judge and the governor of the time, it was the judge. So he tells the judge, certain person has passed away and he put my name in the wasiyah that I must also get 1/3 of his estate. So I've come with a claim that I deserve 1/3 of this estate of this Mr. So and So who has passed away. So the judge looks at him and he tells him that, do you have any proof to it? So Imam Abu Hanifa says, yes. I've got two proofs to it, that the wasiyah was in my name. But everything is swept under the carpet, now they don't want to give me my 1/3. So he says, okay, no problem. You've got two witnesses, I accept that. The next thing I want you to do, I want you to take an oath that these witnesses are true in their claim. I want you to take an oath that whatever they are saying is the truth. But hold on. When they are witnesses to the wasiyah, I was not there. So how can I take an oath and a qasam in the name of Allah
that what they are saying is true. They have explained to me that they were there. But I can't take a qasam on that because I was not present. So he says, well, if you can't take an oath that they are true, then you are not deserving of your 1/3. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi immediately said, there's a person who is blind. Someone hit him. He's severely injured. It demands some penalty money to be extracted from the perpetrators because it's a major crime. But there are two witnesses to that. So the judge says, okay, there is two witnesses to it. It's fine. Imam Abu Hanifa says, but the blind man can't take a qasam that these two witnesses saw it. So he says, well, in my scenario, how do you expect me to take a qasam that I saw it? There's witnesses to it. You accept the verdict of the blind man, I've got the sight. So he accepted it. One person, he came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Again, this intelligence is not only for the deen of Allah. Meaning sometimes general questions people will come and pose to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. One person came, he told Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, says, oh Imam, my peacock, the peacock got stolen. So please, you know, it is someone from the community, but I don't know who it is. I love it and I want it back. You know, from the peacock and the peahen, which one is the more beautiful? Huh? The peacock is the male. The male is the one with the feathers. Huh? Yes, it's the male, not the female. This is what we always thought. That when you see the animal with the feathers, oh, that's the beauty queen, isn't it? No, that's the peacock, not the peahen. So anyway, he said, I want my peacock back. Someone stole it. It's pricey. It's something that's valuable to me. So Imam Hanifa says, don't worry, we'll sort it out tomorrow for that. We'll sort it out tomorrow in one of the salah. And generally in those times, everyone used to be present. Even in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the only person absent was a munafiq. Rather, even the munafiq would come. Even the munafiq, only a kafir wouldn't come for salah. Only a kafir wouldn't come. Even the munafiq would come. So after one of the salah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi turned around. And he immediately addressed the people. Sat on the minbar and he's addressing them. Everyone sat. They're listening to him. Because in the end of the day, it was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, he praised Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salutations, durood, etc. He says, what do I say? I feel embarrassed. Man comes and complains to me that his peacock got stolen. Don't you feel ashamed of sitting in this masjid and there's feathers of that peacock on your head? So one person, so he says, excuse me, when the majlis was khatam, he saw who was that scratching his head. So he went to his house, do me a favor, please return the peacock. So Imam, the person asked Imam, but how you got it back? He says, only one man was scratching his head. That is why we got one student in our madrasa. You know, he was, when I told this to him, so he says, Molana, I got one for you. So I said, okay, never mind. Tell me, what do you want to tell me? He says, one day one man, he stole money. The police were in pursuit of him. They were chasing him. He runs into the hospital. As he runs for cover, he doesn't know where to go. He sees mortuary. He says, there's it. Into the mortuary, there's nowhere else. He goes into the mortuary. The guards say he's inside. We saw him going in. Now, but everyone is wrapped up. So he looks around, he finds one piece of material, white, whatever it was, he covered himself also, as if he's dead. So now the police are looking in that mortuary. So many dead bodies are here. It's scary now also. Now what do we do? So they said, close the door. Just relax, give it a few minutes. Now they think into themselves. And this is what the student told me. So he said, eventually one policeman came in the front. So he came in the front, he opened on page. He says, brothers and sisters, good morning to each one of you. Just to take roll call to make sure that each one is present today. So he says, he takes a few names. Ahmed is here. Okay, I saw your hand, put it down. Muhammad, Ibrahim, Ismail. He carries on. So he says, wait. There's one name, I never see the hand up. One hand hasn't come up. Who's the person that's missing? So one person put his hand up. There's the thief.
So he didn't realize in the masjid everyone is dead, you don't pick up your hands. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, one day a person came to him. So he told Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, I don't know what to do. Now this has got nothing to do with the deen, dunya. Yet because of that basirah, because of that foresight that Allah blessed him with, he was able to give an answer. He says, Imam Abu Hanifa, he's crying. I buried my treasures and my wealth in my backyard. That tijori, I don't know where is it now. I dug a few spots, I can't find it. Those days, maybe the mattresses weren't too high. So he couldn't find it. He's looking, can't find it. So he comes to Imam Abu Hanifa, he says, please, what do I do? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says, nothing major. You want to find the treasures of yours? Tonight after the Isha Salah, after we leave, you go home, you make your wudu, start your Salah, and the entire night you spend in ibadah to Allah. This person goes, he says, not even one third the night had passed. Not even one third. Immediately he said, hey, that's the spot. He goes, he digs, he finds his treasures. He comes to Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, Allah reward you so much. Allah reward you. I found my treasures. He says, yes, I knew shaitan wouldn't allow you to perform salah the whole night. But our ustad explained to us, mashallah. Now, how do we get this from Imam Abu Hanifa? But Imam Abu Hanifa, why did you say salah? I mean, get some money detector or whatever the case be. Why salah? So he says that there is a hadith of Nabi Sallam appears in Sahih Muslim and many other books of hadith. That the moment the muadhin starts and he gives his adhan, when he starts with his adhan, shaitan runs for his life. With passing wind, he runs for his life. Why? The name of Allah is being called out. But the moment the adhan is completed, shaitan is back. The musalli comes and he says, Allahu Akbar. And he starts his salah. Shaitan comes and attacks him. He says, yeah, you remember, I'm not too sure whether you put the alarm on in the car. Just double check. But hey, you know what? Downstairs gate, you left that open, huh? And there's been robberies in the house now, in the neighborhood. And he comes with different thoughts. Hey, don't forget, huh? That consignment is coming next week. Make sure you speak to the shipping company before it, you know, they get... Now, all these thoughts will come. This is... That's where he got his answer from. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the moment a person goes into salah, then all shaitan comes and reminds him of things that never passed his mind before. Shaitan. So he says, the moment you start your salah, then shaitan reminds you of things that never ever crossed your mind before. But there is a lesson for us. What is the muadhin doing? Why when the muadhin is giving adhan, he runs? But when a person is performing salah, he's here. Shaitan is back. Why? So he says, our ustad used to explain to us and say, that the shurah and the commentators of hadith explain, when a person is giving adhan, what is he doing? With a loud voice, he's giving da'wah to the oneness of Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Come to salah. Come to success. Link to the masjid, come into the masjid, he's giving you invitation to Allah. But when a person says Allahu Akbar and he starts his salah, it's his ibadat. So the moment a person starts giving da'wat, shaitan runs. But when you go into ibadat, then he'll come with his waswasa. When you give da'wat, then shaitan runs. When you start ibadat, he'll come with his waswasa. You start reading Quran, you're feeling sleepy. You just take the tasbih, you feel you finished. Did little bit and you're a little bit tired. That's ibadat. But da'wat, shaitan runs away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, that ability, that we give some time for the deen, meaning in the aspect of the da'wat and calling people to the oneness of Allah. Meaning Muslims, non-Muslims alike, speak about the greatness of Allah. Sometimes you know this word da'wat, we have restricted it. Dawat does not mean that you have to leave the masjid after the gush bayan is taking place and go and speak about Allah. This is one form accepted methodology of speaking and calling people. Yes, no problem. Accepted. Maqbool in Allah. But what is dawah? Even if I go to the petrol station and I'm filling my petrol and the bouncer boy but the petrol attendant, I'm going to give him a tip of 5 rand. Don't just give him the two rand or 5 rand. Rather tell him, listen, you must only worship one God. Huh? You don't have to tell him about Allah. Worship only one God. How many times a day do you eat? You must worship more than that. Simple. You tell someone, look after your wife. You invited him. You told him, look after your wife. That's all you said. Must just make sure you don't commit adultery. Something simple. Simple. You don't have to go into any politics. This is already da'wat. So, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, another incident. One day a person, he came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He said, oh Imam Abu Hanifa, I have entrusted my money with someone. I gave him to look after my money. So I went for Hajj and I came back. The moment I come back and I asked this person, excuse me, my money, you know, I left when I went for Hajj. So he totally blankly refuses. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I am not too sure what money. There were no witnesses. Nothing was documented. So there's no one to witness or to stand for me in the court. I don't know what to do. What do I do? So this year is something. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the longest ayat in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu. What is this dealing? This is talking about business and economics. And today, Allah grant us tawfiq and ability to practice. Allah help the ummah. Allah help everyone. The amount of Muslim families that were united, that come from some religious background, that at the moment are not seen eye to eye, brother to brother will never make salam. The family is ready to split. They're just waiting for the right time and they're going to split. What happened? Well, we all were in the business together. You took your drawings, I took my drawings, other person was a professional and he never take anything. And now it's a dispute. Father passed away. Everything was smooth sailing when the father was alive. Definitely it's nice, but everything has to be documented. The business is who share. Who brought it up? Have you given it to your sons who have built it up with you? Is the other son who is the professional, you paid for his fees? Is he also a shareholder or not? Or are the sons that are working getting a handsome salary so they don't have to be entitled to a right and a sharehold in the company? You paying them sufficient? Or you just say, no, when you need anything, take. So these loose ends in business cause big problems later on. Everything Nabi Sam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the longest ayat of the Quran, Faktubu, write it down. That's why they say, Ta'asharu kal ikhwan, ta'amalu kal ajanib. Live like brothers, deal like strangers. For the sake of Allah, I trust you. You are musalli in the masjid. Definitely. But money, we will write it down. Money doesn't make the world go round, it makes the magaj go round. Person really doesn't know who he's talking to, who he's fighting with. Uncle, nephew, niece, son. There's no respect for anyone when it comes to money matters. Allah give us the tawfiq to understand and practice any small thing. Document it, write it down so there's no issues. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, what we're discussing? The person who left some money. So he says, I own my money. He says, no, I don't recall anything. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi says, no, leave it to me, I'll handle it. You just make some dua. You stay in dhikr. So anyway, he sat, he's making dua, he's thinking, where this money is going to come? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi goes, he knocks on the door. Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, how are you? He sat with him, gave him a few words. He told him, listen, I'm very close with the governor. The governor and the khalifa, I'm very close. And everyone knew it. Imam Abu Hanifa was close to the governors of the time. But anyway, he goes to this person, he says, I know the governor very well. He told me he's looking for an officer in a certain department. But there's only one problem. That person has to be very honest, very reliable. Perks, very high. Your salary, handsome. But listen, I feel you the one that's the candidate for it. I looked in the masjid, I'm looking. There's no one as reliable as you. He, no, not me, not me. Why? Because he knows before he goes to the Khalifa, there's going to be screening. Brothers, we are appointing Mr. So and so. He's going to come into office and he's going to be responsible for the wealth or whatever the case be. So if anyone has to object, Khalifa will say, excuse me, wait, we need to sort this matter out then. But now he doesn't have any witness. So he says, no. Now Imam Hanifa says, you the one, you the candidate, you the right person. So he says, no, not me. I'll let you know when I'm ready for it. So Imam Hanifa comes back. Person says, but where's my money? Imam Hanifa says, enough dua you made. Now go to him, tell him, see, give him a full description. Tell him, maaf, brother Muhammad, I think so you forgot what I left. I left behind a purse. The purse was this color, this description, so much of money was in it. I left it at this date, and I require, if it's possible, maybe you forgot about it. You see, I forgot about it. But anyway, there's the bag. Next day, he's there by Imam Abu Hanifa. That position is still available. I'm ready for it now. Imam says, we got what we needed from you. That's all we needed, that bag of money. We got the bag of money. Person comes to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. One more. We'll discuss a few next week. Person comes to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, rather one of his students. One of his students. But this one, the receivers are on. Don't know if it'll work for us. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So one day he comes home and there's a tiff between him and his wife. There was some dispute. And if you don't speak to me tonight, wallahi wan talaq if you don't speak. So he said, no, I'm sure she'll come right. Eventually they'll come right. They'll dangle a few carrots. Carrots, 18 carrots, 22 carrots. That's all. So eventually he comes home. He said, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? He's talking to her sweetly. Deaf, no reply. Not talking. Eventually he starts being arrogant with her. She's still not talking. Wait, I want my talaq. So she's not talking. Chup chup. She's sitting. Not talking. Now he's pareshan. He said, the night, the clock is ticking. What if the talaq falls? And he's worried. So now he's trying everything in the book. Nothing is working. I'll buy you this and I can do this for you. She's not talking. He comes to Imam Hanifa. What do I do? This wife, this is what transpired. She doesn't want to talk. So Imam Hanifa said, nothing major. Come. Took him in the house. He said, wear this best garment of mine. Absolutely, you know, attractive. Put this jewelry on. Put a few rings on your hand. Put a new hat. And you just doll yourself. Shine your shoes. And you just smile. Have a smile. And you enter the house. So he's smiling and he's walking into the house. You, come bakhat, you got second wife. He said, Jazakallah. Jazakallah. No talaq. So what was it? That wit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with. I mean, you know, you think now, how are you going to get something out of her? You're going to phone the father, tell her, man, you know, this is one of the most abhorred things. She must talk. You'll try everything in the book. Imam Hanifa says, simple to get the solutions to all of these issues and problems. Simple. What's so major? Yet each one of them were not dini related. Some of them were dunyawi issues. Worldly issues. He also had the solution to it. So the solution to us is that we link up with people that are linked to Allah. That's all. We link up to people who are linked. As simple as that. The moment we link up, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us inshaAllah. Because they will give you mashwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that there are certain servants of Allah. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ there are certain of the servants of Allah. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ Even if they take qasam, Allah will take it to fulfillment for them. Allah will make it happen such. Certain servants of Allah. So this is what we say. Go to a pious person, say, Mwah, this is my issue. What is the solution? Whatever he says, close your eyes, ank, barnkar, whatever he says, just go and accept it. Do it. You will see how things are unfolding for you. Meaning Allah just opens up the ways after that because you linked up with the right person. That's all you did. Linked up with the right person. But unfortunately nowadays, when we'll phone Hazrat, Hazrat, I'm interested in buying the new car. What color must it be? Hazrat, we're moving into a new house. Can you please come for dua? Hazrat, this is happening. We need this. Hazrat, tahniq for the grandchild. These things. But you got any issue? No, hold on. Hazrat mustn't know. Me and my brother, we in court, Hazrat, hey, you don't ever go and tell him. You'll never get anything from the inheritance. So we worried, Hazrat mustn't know the bad. But these servants of Allah, doesn't affect them in the least whether you tell them good or bad. They look at you with the same eye. They'll still smile at you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability. Inshallah, we'll continue. Alhamdulillah.